Welcome back to Morning Coffee with Rick Alexander. The theme for the month of November is the second annual 21 Maxims to Maximize Your Life. These are thoughts and contemplations to help you begin finding your own North Arrow as you navigate what could only be described as a chaotic 2020. If you want to go deeper than just the audio experience, you can also head to rickalexander.com and find the show notes as well as journaling prompts. Also, that will be linked up in the show notes of this episode. I also did a short show on how to journal if you're new to it and want to check that out as well. It'll be included on the 21 Maxims page of the website. And of course, if you do get anything at all out of these, it would mean the world to me if you would head to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, and just share the show with anyone you think could benefit from the message. All right, without further ado, on to the show. Albert Camus said you will never be happy if you continue to search for what happiness consists of. And Mahatma Gandhi said that happiness is when what you think, what you say, and what you do are in harmony. Maxim number two, happiness is not a worthy goal. It is the byproduct of one. I was doing research for my last book, and I came across a 2016 article in the Huffington Post that said, that actually polled people and asked them what they wanted more of in life. And I'm sure you could guess the number one answer that they received, but what most people wanted more of in their life was happiness. And I think that every single one of us is familiar with that desire, especially when we're starting to go through times of trial and tribulation and confusion and discomfort. And these things make up half of our lives, right? By definition, I think half of our lives are positive emotion and positive experiences. And then the other half is suffering. But there's a meme going around that we talked about last night in our 12 Rules for Life book club, and the meme is something like choose your heart. And the idea behind it is that, you know, essentially in life, everything that you do is going to have some level of difficulty. There is some suffering. And that, in fact, is the first noble truth of Buddhism, which is all of life is suffering. Now, that actually results from the way that we are actually created and the way that we exist in the world, because as we've talked about a little bit on the show, like, we're finite creatures, right? And so by definition, we are the thing that does desire. We do have wants. We're biological in nature, which means that we actually have to have some sort of fuel to turn into energy, to actually move and propel us through the world, to propel our thoughts, to propel our actions. And at the same time, because we are finite, we're aware of where we are, and at the same time aware of where we are not. And so we are the thing that strives in this life. And that's why we are created with this element of contention in our lives. Like, we are contending creatures. We need things to contend with. We need obstacles that we can grow against so that we can manifest the potential that we have within us, right? Because potential doesn't just manifest because we want it to. Oftentimes we've got to have something that we can grow against. Now, as we're moving through our lives, we go through these periods of, as I said, confusion and periods of discomfort. And then we also have, of course, positive experiences, positive emotion, laughing with friends. And I think in 2020, we're in this place where we've gone through much more negative than positive. And one of the things that's really unfortunate about the circumstance that we're in is we're being cut off from these sort of basic human needs. We're being cut off from connection with other people. We're wearing masks, and so our mirror neurons aren't able to pick up on the sense that other people are giving us. And of course, we can smile with our eyes, and of course, we're doing the social distance thing, but there's an element of who we are that is actually stripped away in that experience. And so, though we're going through difficult things, right, economic recession, people are losing jobs, there's fear that is truly, truly visceral fear is in the atmosphere right now, and it's being picked up by all of us. And there's also uncertainty because we're going into political periods of uncertainty and unrest, and there seems to be a lot of angst because we've all been, you know, locked up inside of our houses. And then at the same time, we're not experiencing a lot of the redemptive qualities of being a human being, like human connection. I was just with some friends the other day, and we just played a card game around the table, and we just laughed for hours and hours. We played that game, What Do You Meme? It's kind of like Cards Against Humanity, but a meme version. And we just laughed and laughed and laughed, and I felt this feeling in my soul, like this is such an important part of the human experience that we've been cut off from because of the difficulties that we're going through. And so it's no wonder, the reason I'm saying this is because it's no wonder that we all want more happiness, right? Because happiness is an enjoyable experience. But because we're contentious creatures, because we're finite creatures, because we are trying to sort of make our way in the world, and because we gain so much meaning from doing things that align with our value system, from contending with the world in a meaningful way, it's another way that you could say it. What I would like to draw light to is the idea that happiness is one of these sort of fleeting things that we don't necessarily have a lot of control over. Like the things that we can control is the way that we contend with our environment. The way we can, what we can control is what we aim at, what we set our goals to be. And that is where we can really find meaning in our lives, as I've talked about quite extensively on this show. And then what happens is every once in a while, if you're serving something other than yourself, something higher than yourself, if you're serving the ultimate value, and this is a way of understanding what God is, right? It's the transcendent ultimate value. And so if you're curious, or something that's very interesting to me, is one of the reasons that morals, you know, sometimes religion gets pushed as like a moral playbook or something, like a moral plan. And one of the things that's interesting is, you know, if you strip away the transcendent value, you actually lose the morals, because what morals are is a way of organizing yourself in service to the ultimate value, right? And that, again, from a moral standpoint, from a psychological standpoint, is the conception of what God is. And so what you do is you set yourself up to serve whatever your ultimate value is. And then what that does is every single thing that you do in life then is in relation or in service to this highest value. And so what that does is all of the minute tasks that you take on, all of the things that aren't, you know, don't mean so much to you normally, are infused with meaning. And this is one of the reasons that if we do a job that doesn't feel like it's serving our values, it can start to feel very, we can start to feel very apathetic about it. We can start to like really start to feel dissonance about our lives. And we have that quiet desperation for something more, something deeper, something bigger. And so what you want to do if you're feeling that is you want to figure out where you're outside of alignment with those values. You want to find out, what is the value that I'm actually serving? When I did that, I found that I was serving myself. And so that made happiness really difficult to come by. What you want to do is find out, what's like my top value? What's the thing that I value the most? Now, again, like in religion, that's what God is. And that's why fundamentally it creates so much meaning in people's lives when they serve God, quote unquote, because what it does is you organize everything else in your life in relation to that transcendent value. And then all of the little things that normally don't mean anything to you are infused with meaning. And I've felt this in certain ways as I've tried to serve something bigger than myself. Another thing you could do is serve love. Love is analogous with God in most religions, certainly in the world, in the great world religions, not to include Buddhism, because Buddhism is non-theistic by nature, but Judaism, Christianity, Islam, like God is analogous with love. And so if you are serving love, what you'll find is that all of the little things that you are doing in your life are infused with more meaning. Now, that's not trying to give yourself love, right? So those are different things. Like if you're trying to just gain, let's say, romantic love for yourself, that's not necessarily serving love in its highest, because oftentimes what love calls us to do is to make decisions that aren't serving ourselves and aren't even painful at the time. And then the bet is that even doing that, even sacrificing the service of yourself, will infuse your life with more meaning. And then happiness and joy are both byproducts of what happens when you live in alignment with your values in service to the highest value. So hopefully I'm not confusing you, but the reason I wanted to use this as an episode was because I was taking this course from this personality course from Jordan Peterson. He said, you know, a lot of people want to be more happy. He said, but it's not so obvious that being more happy is the answer that's actually going to ultimately satisfy your lives. And the reason is because sometimes when you're not happy, you are going to work harder. Sometimes you have to do things in service to your ultimate value. I'm finding this out right now. Like I really do love having fun, and I love to like laugh with friends, and I love to just do whatever it is that I feel like doing. But I'm in a time in my life where actually I really need to edit my book, and I really have a lot of essays that I need to write and tests I need to study for. Now, you know, writing an essay or taking a test, that doesn't make me happy. So like in the interim, I'm not feeling a ton of joy as I do that thing. But as I buckle down and I serve something that's bigger than myself, you get these little glimpses of even the small trivial tasks begin to create or infuse your life with more meaning. And then as you tackle those tasks one at a time and you continue to build momentum in a new direction, you find that you don't necessarily need as much happiness, because happiness comes whenever it comes, and it goes whenever it goes. It's not something that you need to necessarily try to grasp onto. Now, as human beings, that's what we do. We cling to what we like and we reject what we don't like. And what that causes is a life of sort of traveling these extremes in the poles. And I think I've experienced that for a few years in my own life. And that's the problem with making happiness your goal or making pleasure your goal, is you go after it and it becomes more and more and more elusive. And the reason it does is because if happiness is the goal, why in the hell would you ever delay gratification? Like, there's no reason to. If happiness is the goal, be gratified now. Go get it now. And so what happens is, when you set your life up in that way, what you're serving is yourself. And then what happens as you don't delay gratification is things start to fall apart in this life, because delayed gratification is a principle that will make your life more meaningful. I'm sure most of you have heard of the marshmallow test, but in the essence, they basically took a group of kids, gave them a marshmallow and said, hey, if you don't eat that marshmallow, someone will come back in a little while and they'll give you two. And then the people stayed away a little bit longer than they said they would. And then what they did is they tracked life outcomes for these kids, and the kids that waited for that second marshmallow turned out to make more money. They turned out to report higher levels of happiness over the long term of their life. And so it's like this principle that we cannot serve ourselves. We cannot serve the immediacy of what we want right now and have that continue to work out in the long term. I've been doing some studying personality for an essay that I had to write the other day. And another way you might think about this is, let's say that you want to hire a salesperson for your team. And let's say that people that are really narcissistic and really good liars, they're able to drum up a lot of business in the interim. But what happens, because maybe they're really good at talking to people, well, you would want to know that about them, because though it might help right now and you might be really pleased as, you know, the next quarter has inflated sales, it's actually going to screw your organization over the long term, because people pay attention. And if they're being lied to over the long term, they'll stop using that business. And so this idea that we can get what we want when we want it it's a flawed way of going about the world, because what it does is it sets us up so that in the long term, we cannot continue to reap the same benefits of success. And life isn't, you know, as I said yesterday, it can't be twisted. The fabric of reality is what it is. It cannot be tampered with without creating some sort of opponent force that pushes back. And so it actually makes sense that what you really want to do is figure out what's the transcendent goal for you, or the transcendent value for you. What's worth serving? And it's got to be something that is going to force you to make small sacrifices over the course of your life in order to serve that thing. Now, the good news is that we are fundamentally wired for servitude, right? And I think part of that is why we've created these egalitarian societies, is because if we don't serve ourselves, but we serve each other, we realize that everybody starts to have enough, right? But if we start to serve ourselves, maybe this time it works, but maybe next time, like, I need what you went out and got, because maybe I got lucky hunting this time, but maybe next time you get lucky. And so if we both agree, listen, we'll just share what we get. We'll serve each other. We'll serve something greater than ourselves. Then what happens is we realize that the chances of you and I both having the things that we need, the food that we need to sustain ourselves, is much more there's a much higher percentage that that's actually going to happen for us. But again, if we set pleasure, gratification, happiness as our immediate goal, what happens is the decisions that we make in relation to that goal, in service to that goal, are going to send our lives on a trajectory. And so there's something about the world that we live in where we've got to serve something that allows us to make the right decisions. Again, when you serve a transcendent value, that's how you end up with morality. Because what morality is saying, yes, maybe I want to do these other things that would be antithetical to morality right now. Like maybe I do want to gratify myself with who knows what it is, right? With all of the things that morality is built around, with sex, with gluttony, with, you know, all the things that we talk, that you could talk about in that, in terms of that. And the reason that you don't do those things, the reasons we have morality, is because it sets you up in service to this higher value. And then the bet being that if you are able to abstain from those things, if you're able to sacrifice what you want right now, it'll infuse your life with meaning. And what meaning does is make it so that you don't necessarily have to have happiness all the time. But when you're serving a boss you don't give a shit about, and a business that you don't care about, or, you know, like jobs, schools, whatever, if you're living somebody else's dream, what happens is that you will eventually run into apathy. And then maybe to deal with that apathy, then you start serving yourself. And so then you say, well, you know, I don't really care about this thing I'm doing, so why not, you know, grab it while the getting's good? Why not just serve myself right now? And then what you run into again are the long-term effects of that not working out in your favor. So we are fundamentally wired for servitude. And so what you want to do is you want to go through your life and figure out what is it that you value the most, what's actually worth serving. And then even if that causes you to make some uncomfortable decisions in the long run, you'll find that long-term success, not only, and this isn't coming from me, this is coming from tons and tons of studies reading up on this, that this is the way that the human condition works. If you can find that you're making decisions in service of a worthy goal, then happiness will be the byproduct of it, and you won't even have to worry about it. It will just be something that you get in your life. I love you guys. I hope you have an amazing day. Again, check out rickalexander.com if you want to mess with the journaling prompts. There's also an episode on there if you want to just learn more about journaling and why it can be useful. We'll talk tomorrow with maxim number 3.